A couple of weeks ago, I received an unusual call. It was an invitation to say an invocation at a memorial service for those who fell in the Bataan Death March. After a U.S.-led Armed Forces division of 75,000 men surrendered to the Japanese in 1942, the U.S. troops were led on a brutal death march known as the Bataan Death March. These prisoners of war were marched without food or drink for 4 straight days, and if anyone fell or walked out of line, they were immediately and brutally shot and killed. Many were capriciously shot anyway, and this was just the beginning of their ordeal. Thousands died on this march, and those who survived were held as POWs in horrific conditions by the Japanese. During the ensuing 3 years, they were routinely tortured and killed, often at the whimsical fancies of their captors. I felt it would be a great honor to say a prayer in memory of these holy people. In the end, it was a very moving memorial service. I'll never forget the words of one speaker. They beat us until we fell, and then beat us for falling. They beat us until we bled, and then beat us for bleeding. The leader of this reunion was a man named Lester Tenney. When he was captured, he told them his name was Tenney, even though it was really Tenenberg. I asked him if he knew a member of our congregation named Bert Friedman, who also survived the march. Lester immediately said, "Friedman? Number 313. My mouth dropped open and I said, "You haven't seen him or heard from him since September of 1945. How do you remember?" He said, "I'll never forget the day. The Japanese number 10 is Jew." And one day a Japanese soldier said to him, "Are you Jew?" And a guy from the south shouted out, "Yeah, he's a Jew." And then they took him and nearly beat him to death because he was a Jew. "So you see," he said, "I never told them I was a Jew." And Lester gave me his biography titled My Hitch in Hell, which I immediately read. After being tortured, beaten, starved, he came home to discover that the woman he had been married to had in turn married somebody else. Thankfully, Lester was able to find the strength to move on and build a successful life and build his own loving family. But the story of his struggle to survive was a great, great challenge. The most amazing and inspiring stories we learn about are those in which ordinary people overcome great challenges and somehow manage to do extraordinary feats. In my rabbinate, I've been so blessed to meet people who fit this description. In reading Lester's story, I want to share with you 3 lessons that I believe helped him overcome his extreme challenges. One of the great gifts of our faith is that it helps us overcome challenges. The teachings of the Torah and of Chazal offer us tremendous strength in times of darkness. And we can frame these 3 steps to overcoming challenges within the context of Rosh Hashanah, and more specifically, the Musaf service of Rosh Hashanah. The Musaf service of Rosh Hashanah is an entirely unique service. In modern times, we have no other service like it. It contains 3 special blessings: Malchiot, kingship; Zichronot, remembrance; and Shofarot, all about the shofar. In each of these 3 blessings, we recite 10 verses from the Bible on the theme of each blessing. There's another requirement for a verse to be included in this blessing. The Talmud in Tractate Rosh Hashanah 32a says, "Ein maskirin puraniyot." We do not pick verses for this blessing that can contain references to fear or punishment. These verses are not intended to scare us, but to inspire us. The purpose of this prayer is to teach us how to overcome the great challenges that will inevitably confront us in life. The first section is Malchiot, kingship. This is a reminder that when we struggle in this world, we can deal with our struggles by reminding ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Yisbarach, is King of the world. And when I heard Lester speak at the memorial, he declared that all he had when he was starving was God to shelter him. The Japanese soldiers tried to dehumanize him. They would give him dog feces as food. They would capriciously shoot prisoners. But the true believer in God cannot be dehumanized. The true believer in God cannot have his nobility stripped. And we say in Malchiyot, Mi ze melech hakavod? Who is the king? Hashem izuz vigibor. Only Hashem is truly strong. God is our king and our redeemer. And that is what we remind ourselves again and again on Rosh Hashanah. No matter what challenge we face in this world, we only answer to God. God is our king and not a Japanese torturer. God is our king and not our debt collector. God and only God is our king. And if we truly realize that God is our king, then we will have the strength to overcome even the greatest of challenges. In Malchiyot, no matter what test we are facing, Hashem tells us, Ani Hashem, I am God. Your challenge does not rule you, only I rule you. Lester said it a little differently, but it's the same message. He said to me, no matter what happened, I never lost faith in my God. And this leads us to the second unique blessing of Musaf Zichronot, remembrances. In Zichronot, we call upon Hashem to remember us when we were innocent, before we became jaded by the world. Remember us when we were pure. We shout out, Haven Yaker Li Ephraim. Is Ephraim, Hashem, not the most precious child and delightful youngster? Zecharti lo chesen u'rayich. I remember you for the sake of your kindness of your youth. The love of your bridal days, how you followed me through the wilderness in an unsown land. And we say all that, and that's true, of course. But this year, Lester taught me another meaning behind the blessing of remembrances. At the end of his memoir, Lester discovers that his wife had married another man. He asks himself how he was able to survive for years in such conditions. And he writes that from the day he surrendered, he kept saying to himself, you can't have a dream come true if you don't have a dream to start with. And so every day he would remind himself what he was dreaming for and why he wanted to be free. And ironically, he carried a picture of his wife through his struggles. And this is the second lesson that Rosh Hashanah teaches us. Zichronot is reminding us to remember ourselves when we were younger, to remind ourselves what our real goals are, to force ourselves to look beyond our immediate challenge and instead focus on the essential goal. It is so easy to get caught up in the trees and lose the forest. But Zichronot commands us, Vayiskor Elokim et Brito, God remembered his covenant with us. And every day we also must remember that we have a covenant with Hashem. And this will force us to focus and overcome our challenges. It will force us to remember ourselves when we were young and reclaim our idealism and strength. And it will remind us that we must have a dream to start with. And now we turn to a third lesson, which appears in the blessing known as Shofarot. The Talmud tells us that the purpose of Shofarot is to bind together the lessons of Malchiyot and Zichronot. And there are so many deep lessons in the symbolism of the shofar, but on a very basic level, to understand the shofar, we must turn to the very place that the shofar first appears in the Torah. The Talmud teaches us that a shofar should come from the horn of a ram in order to remind Hashem Yisparach of the merit of Abraham. When Abraham was about to slaughter Isaac, an angel calls from heaven and stops him. And so Avram Avinu lifts up his eyes and sees a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Ne'achaz basvach bikarnav. Avram slaughtered a ram instead of slaughtering Yitzchak, and for this reason, we blow a ram's horn specifically on Rosh Hashanah. But that's the symbolism of the shofar. Ne'echaz basvach bekarnav. Caught in the thicket by its horns, the shofar comes from something caught in the thorns. It symbolizes the challenges we have in life. We are caught. We are stuck in bramble. But the shofar gives us the strength to overcome thorns and challenges, and we don't know for sure how it will end, but we blow the shofar anyway. In fact, on Rosh Hashanah, we deliberately blow in the darkness, Tiku b'chodesh shofar, b'kesa l'yom chageinu. All other holidays are in the middle of the month when the moon is brightest. This is the only holiday when there is no moon at all. No matter how dark it is, we recognize that Hashem is the king and we follow his direction. We blow the shofar to give us the strength to overcome anything. And we believe that if we blow it enough and remind ourselves that we only answer to the true king and stay true to our mission and our dreams, then in the end we will hear the final shofar, the truly long blast of the messianic shofar. Bayom ahu yitaka b'shofar gadol. On that day, God will blast the great shofar. These are three lessons of the Rosh Hashanah Musaf. Remember that God alone is the king. Remember our dreams and our idealism and gain strength from the symbolism and the promise of our shofar. A beautiful ritual in which we believe it is looked upon with merit by Hashem. You know what? After I heard Lester Tenney tell me his story, I called up my friend Bert Freeman in Florida to tell him Lester Tenney's story. Unfortunately, Bert had no recollection of Lester. I said, "Do you remember Lester Tenney?" He says, "I don't remember the names." Bert now lives in Florida, but he remains connected. And 2 years ago, Bert and his brother Leonard gave our shul one of their family's heirlooms, a shofar, which is hundreds of years old, that we blow every year on Yom Kippur, right after Ne'ilah in our congregation, to end our fast. When Bert told me he did not remember Lester, I said to him, "Weren't you number 313 in Camp 17? And he shouted out, "That's right. I was Sunyako Jew's son. Sunyako Jew's son. That's 313 in Japanese." I said to him, "Please tell me about your experiences." And this is what he told me. He said to me, "Let me tell you how it ended. I just remember waking up one day and all the Japanese were gone. Just like that, they were gone. And I just wanted to get out of there. I had no idea what day it was. I jumped on a train and took the train south and found an American airfield. And from that airfield, I hitched a ride to Okinawa. And from there, I hitched a ride on an American plane to Manila. I just wanted to get to Manila because before Bataan, I had left my talis and tefillin in the synagogue in Manila. And I said, I want to get my talis and tefillin back. And when I got off the plane in Manila, I immediately asked the driver to take me to the synagogue so I could find my talis and tefillin. And the driver told me, there's no more synagogue there. The synagogue has burnt down. Later on, Bert told me, I was miraculously able to find my talis and tefillin. But going back to our story, the driver said, you know, the synagogue is burnt down, but a lot of Jews are gathering today in Rizal Stadium. So Bert says, I asked him to take me there. Bert walks into the stadium as it's almost dark, and there were 4,000 Jews in the stadium. Bert had walked in right at the end of the Ne'ilah service. He said, I walked in at the Kedusha section. And he just had time to be there and say Ne'ilah with the congregation and to hear the sound of the shofar. And then Bert went up to the bima and davened Ma'ariv for everybody. And right after he davened Ma'ariv, he said he was approached by everyone and they were asking about the fate of their friends. Some Bert said he knew had died and some he had no idea. He said, we were all crying. We just embraced, overwhelmed by our mixed emotions. Can you imagine? Bert went straight from the depths of a POW camp into the Ne'ilah service of Yom Kippur. And at the end of Ne'ilah every year, a shofar is sounded. And this year in our congregation, we're going to sound Bert's shofar. It's a sound of someone who was ne'achaz basvach bekarnav, caught in the thorns, but then redeemed by Hashem. He was redeemed because he never forgot who was the one and true king. And he never forgot who he himself really was. And the sound of Bert's shofar that will blast this year is a sound of someone who not only overcame a challenge, but also inspired others as well. It is the sound of a holy man who we have the great merit to lead our congregation and to blast his shofar in his merit, Shana Tovah.